what's done is done. Let's talk about the team vibes. Let's talk about recruiting and then have some group therapy. Let's get it.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off. And you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Let's go. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast, live with C5. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five. And it's time for some group therapy. Okay, we're going to get into it tonight. We might fight. I mean, we'll just have to see what happens. We might throw some haymakers, but it's going to be fun regardless. Because you know what? All we have right now is us. All we have right now are these Sunday Night Lives to get it out there and mix it up and have some fun. I'm going to go over a few things. I made a lot of calls today, talked to a lot of different folks. I want to give you some ideas on team vibes, what some of the guys are thinking, what some of the guys are saying, some stories, and then hit some recruiting as well. I talked to a couple of recruits. We'll go into that. We'll go into that as well. Before we get started, let's give a quick shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for that double up deposit bonus. Hey, Auburn covered this weekend. So, boom, there you go. If you would have doubled it up, if you would have used that double up deposit, you could have bet Auburn this weekend as the line moved. I think it closed at 4.5. Hey, good teams cover, baby. Auburn only loses by 4. So, there you go. There's your positive spin. There's your boog for tonight. But no, check them out, mybookie.ag. They got every single sports betting line that you can imagine. All right, so let's go. Let's have some fun. Not a lot you can take away positive from this weekend. I'm going to just be frank. It was awful. It was to expect that coming out of 2 weeks. It was not something that you would expect. You tried to be conservative and – you scored 10 points. You scored 10 offensive points, and you got the ball back over and over and over and over again. So it's not fun. It's no fun, and I'm sure nobody had fun watching that. But I want to. I did talk to several folks today, and I got a couple of things that I want to share. One in particular. I know everybody is worried about players leaving. Everybody's worried about, oh, the roster is going to be pillaged. Everybody's going to go to the portal, blah, 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 blah. And the more and more I think about it, there's not a ton of precedent of that actually happening. Now, there's really not. If you look at Florida's probably the best example everybody keeps pointing to, but there's really not just a ton of precedent of multiple guys, especially guys that are getting a lot of playing time that go elsewhere. Just after a bad season. It's typically all, you know, money related. And if you can get the money right, you know, a lot of people will put up with a lot of things. But so just in general, I don't think there's a ton of precedent for just classes, just mass exodus of players just after, you know, a bad season. So that I feel like is something that is just sort of a myth that we've sort of built up anyway. But I did talk to some players. I talked to some parents actually as well. And one of the more interesting things that I was told was from one of our freshmen. This didn't come directly from him, but one of our freshman players that plays a good bit, someone that spoke directly with him today. And I want to read you what he said. I posted this on the Barn. So if you're a member of thebarnauburn.com, you should already know this, but I'm going to read this to you. Again, talk to someone who spoke directly with one of our freshman studs who's playing a ton of snaps, and this was his response on the current vibe of the roster. Okay, here we go. Quote, young guys are fine and understand what's going on. There's some complacency and, quite frankly, too much being okay with losing with some of the older players, and that is not shared with a lot of these younger guys. One thing that I was a story that I was told, and I'm not going to use names, but I did share the names on the Barn. I'm not going to share names out loud, but basically after the, it was either the Cal game or the Arkansas game. I think it was the Arkansas game because that had let some frustration built up with this young guy over something that he saw. There was a freshman who all of a sudden is one of the better players on the team now. And after the Arkansas game, he said that there was a senior that would kind of shock you, I think, when if you knew who it was, laughing in the locker room at something. It doesn't even matter what it was. Doesn't matter if it was a joke, if it was something related to the game. Doesn't matter at all. Just saw him laughing and went off. The kid went off. This is a freshman, true freshman, going off on a senior that plays a ton, laughing. Like, what do you – we just lost to Arkansas. What are you doing? What are you doing laughing? We just turned the ball over four times. We just gave up a 80-yard touchdown play on third and a mile. What are we doing laughing? Like, I don't even care what you're laughing about. Like, what are we doing laughing? That kind of exchange – there just seems to be, and I'm sure it has a lot to do with this day and age, there is a culture at Auburn right now that's sort of built over the last four or five seasons that needs to change. And there is a lot of the younger wave coming in that see things a lot different than the ones that have been here for a lot longer. Okay. And I think that they see the opportunity to play A, and they see what Auburn could be as they get older and as they continue to sort of supplant this culture of wanting to compete. And you see that out of young guys. You see guys like Malik Blockton play with his hair on fire every single play. You see guys like DeMarcus Riddick, whenever he goes in, he's going 100 miles an hour. It's like it's life or death for him. Caleb Harris made a play on a sideline where the corner on that side, I don't even know who it was, but the corner was actually beat. But Caleb Harris picked up the play and jumped it and almost had an interception before, the corner could even react. And again, I don't know who it was. It could have been another freshman, but regardless, Caleb Harris made, he's making plays, playing with this incredibly high motor. I just see a lot of these younger guys, sophomores and freshmen, that are playing tons of snaps, especially on defense, that are playing with a sense of urgency that Auburn has not had for multiple years now. So there's sort of an imbalance. There's guys that are playing that are older guys that are playing a little bit out of necessity, like they kind of have to for depth reasons, for whatever reason, they're having to play. And then we have a lot of younger guys that are ready to go. They're ready to win, and they don't like this. They don't enjoy this, and they don't like other people being okay with it. So there's a little bit of a I'm trying to think of the right term. It's not toxicity. It's not that, because it's not like the locker room hates each other. But there is a group of younger guys that don't really see the older guys as being big leaders. And they're like, I think we're the leaders. I think we're going to be the leaders of this team. We're going to be the foundation of this team moving forward. We got to change it. And I think that's a good thing. And you know, that's what the person was saying, was the younger guys understand what's going on. So that's good, that they see what's going on. And in turn, that makes you feel like it makes you feel better about retention. You're getting, these guys are getting a lot of playing time. The ones that aren't, I guess maybe you could worry about them, but the guys that are getting a lot of playing time are all young. And typically, I don't think there's a ton of precedent that guys that are getting heavy snap amounts are fleeing teams, especially early in a rebuild when they're going to be receiving a ton of playing time, probably a ton of money too, moving forward. So I wanted to share that, kind of give everybody a little idea, a little look behind the curtain as far as the dynamic between a lot of the younger guys and the older guys. Now, recruiting. Let's switch it over to recruiting, and then we're going to get into this Q&A and have some fun, okay? And it's all no holds barred in the chat. So if you want to get at me, that's fine. We're going to have some fun. I'm going to laugh, and we're going to have a good time. But recruiting, okay? Talked to several recruits, and one was supposed to come on with me tonight, and he had a scheduling conflict. But the recruits of this 2025 class are really close with the 2024 class. There's a lot of guys in this 2025 class that are boys. That's their boys, the 2024 class, okay? And they see those dudes going to absolute war. They see those guys battling. They see those guys getting after it, and they see the opportunity that they can be in there very quickly. They see the opportunity to be leaders quickly. And there's just not – now, again, there's still five more games left, okay? So I'm not saying if Auburn blanks the rest of the year and goes 2-10 that things could possibly not change. I'm bleeding, but it's all right. I'll be all right. It's a battle. It's a battle right now. Even I'm coming up injured. But, no, it's regardless – they see the opportunities and they see the ability to be able to get on the field and get on the field quick and sort of change the culture. And that's what they're bought into. They're bought into changing this thing around, and we'll just have to see what happens. But those are two ends of the spectrum that everybody need. The only things we need to be worried about are roster retention right now and the recruiting class. The season is what it is. This team is what it is. You don't have elite quarterback play. And that hinders everything else. No matter who's out there, you're not going to have elite quarterback play. We can hindsight this thing to death. We can hindsight this thing all we want to. Hugh should have gone and gotten a portal quarterback. He chose not to. He chose to build, and this is the results. Just sort of is what it is. Made a bad decision. In hindsight, I don't think he's going to do it again. And I think he's kind of expressed that it's not going to happen again. I think they're ready to get in the portal and get after it whenever that opens. And we'll see what happens. But, again, that's all I really have planned for tonight, because I want this show to be driven by you guys, okay? I want this show 100% the rest of the way to be driven by you. And I'm going to go through there's a little blood on my thumb. See there? I will go – I wonder if YouTube will ban this video now for gore. No, but I want to get as many questions as I possibly can. So let's just jump in straight away, and let's have some fun. Okay, go all the way back up to the top. Gracie Skywalker, all in favor for giving Sam Jackson a shot at quarterback? Say aye. Sam Jackson needs a shot at quarterback. Hey. At this point in time, I don't care who goes in at quarterback. I really don't. I don't care anymore who plays quarterback, because it's not. I don't know that it's going to change anything. No matter who you put back there, it's not going to change anything. One thing I forgot about Sam Jackson, dadgummit Sam Jackson, how do you drop? You drop a big pass on third down that could have been a big play. I don't know. I forgot about that one. That was another missed opportunity. It was a third and five or something, or third and 10 or something like that, and they ran a really good drag route. And Thorne did throw it a little bit high, go figure, but still right through his hands, could have been a big play. But, hey, I'll put anybody in at quarterback right now. Doesn't matter to me. Let's just throw whoever. I don't care anymore. The only person I don't want you to yet is Walker. If we're going to play Walker, wait till it's the last four games. That way it's not a red shirt. You don't burn his red shirt. And then just say, screw it. We're going. Nobody over the age of 19 is allowed to be on the field. You just go out there. You got freshman and sophomore. Just roll with it. If you put him out there, it is what it is. I don't care anymore. Brent Riley, please no Boog tonight. Can't take it right now. Brent, you can tell you what you need to do. Take a lap, son. If you think the Boog's going to go down, you can just take your lap or turn it off or go watch Gossip Girls, whatever you got to do. We're booging tonight. No matter what, every Sunday night at 8 o'clock, we're going to get the book going. Let's see. Hey, this is good from Taylor. The moment this show starts will be the moment I face truth of what happened yesterday. Was in Knoxville covering Bama, which provided a distraction, but my heart breaks for the guys on the team. I know, Taylor, it's tough. It's tough. But like you said, I guess there was some comfort in Alabama kind of going through some similar things. But yeah, it's tough. And you can see, again, talk about some of the locker room stuff. It's hard on some folks. It just sort of is what it is at this point in time. The season just kind of is what it is. Let's see. Tim Toolman Taylor, PT being smug right now is wild. I don't know what this means. Did I miss something? Let me know in the chat. Did I miss something? I don't know. Did he do a press conference and he was smug about something? I missed that. So let me know what I missed a little bit later in the chat. And it's something that I will, I'll look into. Brent, before we fight, will you let me know who the next coach is going to be? No, I'm not. I know who it is, but I'm not. I'm just kidding. I don't know who the next coach is going to be. And I'm not worried about a next coach right now. I still think Hugh's the guy. I want to have a coach one time. And I will say I'm a little bit guilty on the last one, okay? But I want to have a coach that if I see him doing the right things off the field, okay, recruiting like crazy, doing what he's got to do, building up the off-the-field staff, working the portal, doing what they do. I want to see one time where we just have a dude come for 4 years and we just, no matter what, we support you no matter what for 4 years. And then after 4 years, we're going to have a review and figure out if everything's, you know, if figure out should we keep going. And if not, okay, you had a six-year contract. We got two more. We're going to keep pounding NIL and keep bringing kids in. Let you have the last 2 years and then roll on to the next one. I want to see something like that moving forward. I mean, instead of this, gosh, we're so fire happy. We are. Let's fire the special teams coach because our starting kicker has, you know, issues and unexpectedly, and now you got to go to a true freshman kicker and he kicks one out of bounds and he misses some field goals. We got to fire the special teams coach because DeMarcus Riddick got a holding call on a kickoff return. Like that's what I mean. We're trying to fire everybody. And like, let's just build something. Let's just sit back, you know, get in some live chats. Let's have some Sunday night arguments and roll with it. But like, let's just try to build something and see what happens. Michael Hornbeck, is it time to see what we have in QB with Hank? This team just doesn't seem to have the clutch factor. Nothing can hurt at this point in time. It just depends on what your goals are. And I know you have to reassess your goals. And I keep saying that Peyton gives you the best chance to win, but the offensive game plan also has to fit Peyton. And what we saw on Saturday and against Georgia is not a offensive game plan that's really fits this personnel, I don't think. I don't think you have a very big, powerful offensive line that you're going to push a lot of people around. You got to keep people off balance, and that's going to risk turnovers. But you know what? At this point in time, it just sort of is what it is. Let that thing rip. Like, put if it's Hank, if it's Peyton, don't handcuff them. Let's just let it rip. I understand why you did it. Everybody was begging for us to run the ball. Run it. Give Jarquez 30 carries. Well, he got 21 touches, and he had his worst output of the year. So I think you got to keep him off balance. I think you got to let it rip. I don't care if it's Peyton Thorne or Hank. I don't know that either one of them has an advantage. The only I understand the argument for Hank because at least you get to work for the future, and you know maybe there's some truth to that. Maybe that's legit. Carmack, Freeze has really disappointed me since his hiring. There's no excuse for some of the issues to still be happening. I'm with you. I'm disappointed. I'm very disappointed. I understand why he made some of the decisions that he made. And if I was sitting down with him and he told them to me in this past offseason, I mean, I've been like, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I understand the direction you're going. But it just turned out that you just really hampered yourself at quarterback. You just really hurt yourself at the quarterback position that drives the whole train. And there were some pretty good options. Again, it's a crapshoot. What probably should have happened is he didn't let his feelings get hurt by Riley Leonard. And that was the guy he wanted. There was some, you know, I'm in, coach. And then all of a sudden, oh, no, Notre Dame threw a bag. Now I'm out unless we get this thing up and unless we get this bag up. And I think that, you know, aggravated Hugh because he had told him he was coming. And you know, if in hindsight, you probably should have fought a little harder or not let your feelings get hurt and move on too quickly, and just maybe gone back and got him. He hadn't had a great year, but he may have been the difference in two or three wins. Who knows? But hopefully, he's learned his lesson. I think he has. Let's keep going. Here's one. I worry about Perry. Okay. Tim Toolman Taylor again. I worry about Perry. And then he says, and Cobb saying it ain't fun anymore. Well, if you're putting that out on social media, you're probably part of the problem. If that's what that means. I don't know if that's what that means. I don't know if it means football at Auburn isn't fun anymore, or if it means this ain't fun anymore. It's all business. It's war. I don't know what that actually meant. If it meant, oh, I'm sad, this ain't fun no more, take your ass home. I'm sorry. If that's the deal, just go. I'm sorry for saying that, but just go on. That's part of the culture issue. We're here to fight. I understand you're not getting your playing time. You got the best back in the SEC in front of you. Chill out. You'll get your time, and then we'll roll. Okay. But if that's what that meant, just take your butt on. I'm not even worried about it. You can get 15 running backs in the portal. It is what it is. Now, Perry, on the other hand, I understand you're watching Ryan Williams get 62 targets because they apparently have told Jalen Milroe he has to throw every single pass to Ryan Williams. And then, Perry's obviously not getting the targets or the playing time that, you know, Cam Coleman or even Malcolm Simmons is getting. So I do worry about that. But at the same time, he's already knows what jersey he's wearing number one next year. So there's going to be a jersey change. He's talking about that. So he's at least planning to change jerseys next year. And also you got Keandre Lambert-Smith that is shown what this offense can do when it's not turning it over. It can be explosive. And I think there's a pathway for Perry to slide in there and play that role next year. And then you really have an opportunity to have the freeze four on the field next year. So I get it. I worry about him too, because you obviously flipped him from Alabama. You made a bunch of promises and he got here late and hasn't really gotten a lot of the love that some of the other guys have. But again, you see who you're going to war with. So if he wants to go, then I guess go. But I'm not really worried about him at this moment. He's one of the ones that's part of those dogs that wanna fight. They wanna get out there and get after it. And hopefully his production and snaps goes up a little bit. James Rutten. Congratulations, pundits. Jarquez got his carries. Guess what? His yards per carry went down, just like Hugh Freeze has been saying, and we aren't any better for it. This offense, the offense is just woeful. I sometimes wonder, and this isn't a great thing, but I almost wonder sometimes if Hugh listens to us too much. and again, he started Hank whenever people were calling for Hank. The Jarquez heat. He got a ton of questions about Jarquez after Georgia. And then Jarquez gets 19 carries, 21 touches overall. I don't think that's the case, but there's got to be a little bit of the human element that's like, well, fine. I'll show you. I mean, hopefully that's not the case and he's just doing what he thinks best. But it is kind of strange that Jarquez got the most carries he's gotten all year. But again, this is what I said, you don't have to be on a pitch count. Just situationally, let him be more of the focus, a little bit more focus on third down in the passing game, a little bit more focus in the red zone, not just necessarily every single carry on first down or a carry on first down and a carry on second down. Situationally, there needs to be a little bit more Jarquez, and maybe that in turn will equate to more carries. But I mean, 32% of the touches is a lot for a running back. That's a ton. That's you're getting in the kid from Boise State level, and the kid from Tennessee. I forget his name too. Both of those guys get a crap load of touches. That's the level you're getting into, and you saw what it did to our offense. Again, I think when you're playing, remember when you play NCAA, sometimes it's hard when you get like a really good wide receiver. Everybody's done this. You go into formation subs, okay, and you know that outside receiver sometimes, your number one receiver is always on the outside. So what do? You slide him to the slot because on four verts is always open. Like, you know what I mean? Like you switch them around to get them to where they get open, because it's hard where they are to just say, I'm going to throw to this one guy. I'm going to try to get this guy open. Hugh's offense seems to kind of work that way, where it's not necessarily, it's hard to kind of feature a person because everything's based off of a read. There's a lot of different reads. So when you start trying to focus force feed some one person, that's when everything seems to kind of go awry. So I would rather just say, run your offense the way that you think it needs to be run 100%, and we'll shut up and just let it happen. And if you throw interceptions, we see that we got bad quarterback play and we either got to get a new quarterback or we got to change how we coach it, whether we get a new quarterback coach, whatever we do. But this season is sort of shot. So just run what you got and let's see what happens. Let's see here. Tim, the Toolman Taylor again, getting a lot of questions in. Old players generally have a losing mentality because they don't know what winning is. I think he does. I don't think it means old players in general. I think it just means these old players at Auburn, because if you look at the past, you've got just losing season after losing season, going back, you know, three coaching staffs. So it's tough. And it's something that's a mentality that's got to be broken. I agree with you. Let's see here. Brent Riley, serious question. Are you concerned Freeze is a good recruiter and not a good coach? I would be, Brent, if there was a lot of evidence of the contrary. Is there a lot of evidence of Hugh not being able to elevate a school that he was at, whether it be Arkansas State, Ole Miss, or Liberty? And the question is, the answer is every single school that he was at, every single school he was the coach got better. Sometimes it was quick, a quick turnaround. Sometimes it took, I think it took Ole Miss 3 or 4 years till they got to that 10-win, season. And I think had, you know, things not got derailed, he would have kind of kept that train rolling. So the one thing I could be concerned about is I think the RPO offense is great, but it seems to yield a lot of turnovers. Is that something that can continue to be built upon? Or is that something that can continue to grow? Or do you have to change your offensive philosophy? And at this point in his career, is that something he can do? I don't know the answer to either one of those questions. They're just questions to be pondering, to be thinking about. So if there was evidence of a history of poor coaching stops, then I would say, yeah, it'd be something I worry about. Cause look, now we're just continuing but this is sort of unprecedented territory for Hugh. Typically, it's just been step after step after step in the right direction. But Auburn is the best school, in my opinion, the best program, the highest program with the highest facilities, highest resources, highest expectations that he's been the head coach of. So, and it's at the lowest point in its history. And I don't know, maybe he hasn't been at that level yet. He took over Ole Miss when they were at a really low point, but there's no expectations. And then Auburn's obviously got huge expectations and deservedly so. So, no, I'm not concerned yet that he's not a good coach. He's great, obviously a great recruiter. Let's see. Jonathan Hubbard. If we have a problem with older players, then play the younger ones. Simple fix. Well, Jonathan, how many younger players aren't playing? They're all freaking playing. That's how we know there's an issue, because – go look on. There's only like four or five guys that are redshirting. Walker White, Bryce Kane, DeAndre Carter, and then maybe Joseph Phillips out of your whole class. Everybody else is playing. So I don't know how many more people. I mean, maybe you could say, let's get Perry more snaps. I'm with you. Okay. If we got to, again, Keandre Lambert Smith has earned the right to play, though. So who comes out? Perry, I do want to see more from Perry. Who else? Like, who else needs to put Riddick on the field every single snap? Maybe that's something. put Riddick on the field every single snap. You got young guys in the whole secondary. DJ Barber, that's another linebacker. Hey, I'm almost ready to start burning some red shirts on that guy. Like, let's give him a shot because our linebackers aren't really getting it done. They're probably the weaker group of the of this whole defense. They've really struggled, and they both played a lot of football. Amaris Williams, maybe you get him a ton more snaps. He played a lot in this past game. He played really, really well. But yeah, they're all playing tons and tons of snaps. There's not a ton that you can say, oh, well, if that's the answer, just play all the younger players. Well, my gracious, just about all of them are playing. Maybe they could just play more. I guess maybe that will be a good middle ground. Yeah, Stephen Bowden. I'm not ready to say he's just a recruiter yet. I mean, neither. I want to see it just a couple more years through. We are literally 10 completions a game from having our record completely flipped. This is all about quarterback play. I agree. I think a vast majority of this can boil straight down to a quarterback play. And I don't think it has to be really much deeper than that. I think quarterback play is – he hasn't had a ton of help on offensive line, but I think they've played well enough to be able to make plays. I mean, look at Brady Cook. I mean, look at Missouri's offensive line. They got their butts kicked. Those quarterbacks got their butts kicked. 5 sacks. Brady Cook had to have his leg amputated. They went and put in a bionic ankle in 2 hours, and he came back out there, got knocked around some more. But they, dadgummit, they just made plays when they had to, especially Brady. I mean, he made some big throws when he had to. Has there ever been a time where you felt like, whether it be Peyton Thorne or Hank, even if it's Hank Brown, if you felt like that one of those guys could go in down a touchdown and bring Auburn back for a win? Do you have any confidence whatsoever in either of them? I don't at this stage. Now I could with Hank down the road, but right now I don't. So if we ever get down late there and we have to have a drive, there's nobody. I mean, I just don't feel like there's anybody on the roster that can do that. And other schools have that. We just don't. We just don't have that quarterback play. We haven't seemed to have it. We've been sort of snake bit for a while. Let's see here. NH3425, one of the regulars. We need to start using Malcolm more. My gosh, he's a dude. I mean, he got 5 touches, I think, in this past game. He got a rush and I think 3 or 4 other touches. That's a pretty big workload for a wide receiver, but I'm with you. I think he needs to be on the field more, but I want to see him down the field. He's pretty good down that way. He's pretty good that way, yonder way. He's pretty good north-south instead of east-west. He's good east-west too, but he's really good north-south. So I want to see him get some more action as well. He got a pretty good workload. They featured him a good bit this past week. Let's build on that. Let's build on that. I think that could be big, big dividends up until, like, especially going into next year. Let's see. Here we go. Ant Robinson. C5, I heard the same about leadership. Peyton Thorne has everyone against him because of his play and leadership. That's why all the recruits are saying one player away. Again, I don't know how other players – I know how a couple of players view him, but it's from a whole, I don't know as much as you probably know, Ant. But I it's hard to say, it's hard to see that, you know, it's hard, I guess I could see why they may not believe in him from his play or leadership. And I can also see why those recruits are saying, hey, if you just – we see the open receivers. We're talking to the receivers that we know are open. I can see that. I can see that's why, you know, one of the things that the recruits are buying into. So that's really good intel, really good insight. I haven't heard it specifically about Peyton, but, I mean, he's part of that older class. And some of the younger guys are looking at some of the older guys and saying, you know, why are you guys just so okay with losing? Peyton's part of that. I mean, part of that older class. So maybe he's one of the ones that's not showing the emotion that he needs to show. I don't know. Peyton does put his body on the line a lot. He does run really hard. He does seem like he wants to win. I don't know that he just has it. I love the kid. I love what he's done at Auburn. I love that he puts his body on the line. He got his crap. He's got his crap pushed in this week. Got knocked out. Came back. Sat out of play. Came in. Threw a touchdown. They let him throw the ball down the field. He threw a touchdown. So it kind of just is what it is. Let's see. Let's keep going. Justin Thomas. If we can't beat Kentucky, we just need to cancel the rest of the season. They're not good. Their offense is terrible. But they do have a pretty salty defense, and that could be issues for us. You know, Missouri played pretty pathetic offense for basically the whole game, and we could only muster up 10 points. So something's going to have to give, and I'm hoping we just go in there with reckless abandon and just start slinging it up and down the field. That would be that'd be a lot of fun. See, Jonathan, this is so dishonest, and I love you, and I appreciate you listening. An average SEC 22-30 SEC record at Ole Miss and Auburn. Okay, the problem with that is Ole Miss the year before he took over did not win a single SEC game. Okay, so clearly, when you first take over a program, you're going to have to take some lumps before you build it up to what it, you know. To it's at its peak. And he won 10 games at Ole Miss, which has only been done at that point in time a handful of times ever, which is a huge achievement. Okay, so that and then you take over Auburn, who's struggled for 4 years now, leading up until when he took over, and he took over a really god-awful roster in the middle of the portal. When, you know, Auburn lost a lot of players to the portal after Gus left and then through the whole whatever his name is, Brian Harsin era, lost a lot of players, the roster's decimated. So, again, I think he's well above average, and I think the 22-30 record is dishonest. I think it's correct record. It is correct that he's 22-30 in the SEC. But it also does not take into account taking over teams that were at the bottom of the bottom of the pit, basically, and having to try to rebuild them back. And I think we're undervaluing the achievement of winning 10 games at Ole Miss, especially prior to Lane Kiffin, who's even Lane Kiffin is struggling at Ole Miss. He's won 10 games twice, which is big. But now look, he's got the best roster they've probably ever had. And he's lost two games already. And he hasn't even played, I think he still has to play Georgia, doesn't he? I think they still have to play Georgia. They already lost to LSU. Still got to play some pretty good teams. So it could get even worse. But I respect the question. I just don't agree. I just don't agree with the premise. I think this is a little bit unfair. Let's see. Let's keep going. You don't have to have elite quarterback play. You just have average, and we're not getting average right now, Brent. We've won plenty of games in the past without elite quarterback play. You've also those times you had really good rosters. Okay, Brandon Cox won a lot of games, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, because he had some dogs on that offensive line. He had some dogs on defensive line. We've won plenty of games, but what have we won without elite quarterback play? What's something other than 7-8 games that we've won without elite quarterback play? I'll wait. Let me tell you what it is. Nothing. You don't win big time without having above average quarterback play, especially at Auburn, which you're going to never be able to go like dog for dog with some of the top programs as far as player for player. We're not just going to – there's not many 2004s that I see in the future. We're able to just line up and hand it to Carnell, hand it to Ronnie Brown, who are going to sit here for 4 years and then have just the stud offensive line, 5 stars across the board. I just don't see that happening. So what has Auburn won without elite quarterback play? 7 games? Cool. Awesome. Let's go for that. Or we can try to get some elite quarterbacks in here, like Walker White, like Deuce Knight and see what we can do, see if we can try to win us a championship eventually. Let's keep going. Let me read this one right here. Maine, out of all the losing Auburn has done for many years, the last year and hopefully this year, recruiting has been an all-time high. That's how you build up a program that needs restructuring. 1,000%. You got to do the off-the-field stuff. And if you just look at it in a vacuum and you're just looking at on-the-field results, it sucks and it's not fun. But you're talking unprecedented territory if you can hang on to all these guys, and you're talking about a huge roster upgrade moving forward. So I agree with you. That's why I'm being a little bit more patient. Now, if all that stuff starts to fall apart, then you got to start asking some questions. I'm going to answer a couple more, and we're going to call it a day. Let's keep going. Thomas Jones, here we go. This is a great question. This is Thomas Jones, our regular super chat member. He says he's getting dang tired of Harsin trolling weekly. Hey, Harsin, tell us why you interviewed with New Mexico and they passed on an ex-SEC coach. Hey, let him have it. Harsin even posted something about Brady Cook this week. Dude he is salty. He is salty. And that's what everybody's sort of like getting used to that now. Like, hey, let's go find what Harsin's gonna tweet about. Let's go find what Harsin's gonna tweet about this past weekend, every time Auburn loses. Let's go with just a couple more and then call it a night. Let's see. Let's go to this one. C5, do you ever think Auburn put too much emphasis on Hugh beating Saban when they hired him? Again, we're going with the average coach. Hugh's track record shows he's at best an average coach. No, I don't think that had very little to do with it. It had everything to do with building rosters and his ability to build rosters. And that his offense has been pretty productive everywhere he's been. So that's what I think about that one. Let's keep going. Here we go. Ernest Brown. I may call it a night on this one. Ernest Brown, personally, I will continue to trust the process no matter what. I remember what Hugh said in his interview when he got hired. This team will not be a quick fix. Trust the process. I understand people that don't want to. I'm going to hang in there for a little while longer, and let's see what happens. He did say that to be patient. He did tamper expectations. I do think there could have been some better coaching. There could be a lot better coaching done with this team. I think there could have been a lot better coaching done in situations, even some decision making. But again, you're recruiting like crazy, and you're building like you said you would. Now you just got to hold on to the roster, hold on to what you got going, and then just sort of build from there. So guys, I really appreciate you jumping on tonight and having some therapy with me. It's a lot of fun. And we'll get after it again next weekend. We're going to have a whole week of shows. We'll be back in tomorrow getting after it. So I really appreciate it. We're going to talk a little bit about some stuff said in the press conference and just notes that we've heard around, and then just kind of break down and look forward to Kentucky coming up this next weekend. So I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for jumping in. Thanks for chiming in with the questions. Y'all have a great week, and we'll get after it again. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.